Gracias, Alex. Oh, is here. What is it, liver or kidney?
Kidney, dialysis. I tell you, put on weight, now.
Hmm?
You put on weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I'm here, you know. You just came today, huh?
Oh, we came now. Wednesday, quite late already. Mm. So yesterday we checked with the mom, no session. Then this morning I checked this lady, she's on session here.
And Sunday, right? Well, but not this Sunday. We have to, because there's a pause up. What is pause up? Cremation.
Cremation.
So I have to go to a cremation, so we make it on Monday.
Also Monday.
Monday.
Oh, okay.
So no Sunday, yeah?
Okay.
Because I won't be here. The cremation will be around, yeah, I don't know when. How long are you staying?
Very short this time.
Very short?
Yeah, very short. 1 week only. I'll be flying off on Tuesday already. So Monday...
You're going on Tuesday. Hmm?
Tuesday we're off already. Tuesday morning.
So maybe I should check on you tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow same time?
Mm-hmm. I'm missing... Where is this... The other lady that was practicing so well? What... Not the police woman, the other one.
Irina. No, she didn't come.
Why not? You didn't invite her.
No, we did invite. She cannot make it because she don't have the leave. Not enough leave.
So when do you think you can come longer for 2 or 3 weeks?
Oh, actually, we wanted to come longer, but because. Thailand doesn't have enough supply of the dialysis solution for me, and I have to carry from Singapore. Mm. I can only carry that much. So we hopefully next year we come again. Hopefully they have enough supply for me.
Next year?
Yeah, next year.
Maybe end of this year.
I mean, this year has just started.
End of this year.
Next year is 2016. So, I mean, you just put on. Everything. Body is not interesting. The body is not interesting. So don't worry about the body. It will break up anyway. I mean, no matter what we do, if you worry about it, it will break up. If you don't worry about it, it will break up. So don't worry about it. Worry about the chitta. That's the most important thing, huh? That will go to the next life, huh? The body, you can't do it. Huh? And hopefully in the next life you will have a better body. So, how did you come here? What brought you here? I mean, to this place. I mean, you've been to quite a few places in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
So what brought you here?
Heard about the monastery, about the one who was before you, the one who built this place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was interested to...
But he died a few years ago.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You didn't know?
No, I know now on the book. I thought he was alive.
He was 96 years old, so I mean, he would be now 101 years. was quite obvious. So what makes you, why were you interested in him, in Lungta Mahabo?
I was interested to find a monastery and to know how to meditate, how to live in a monastery. I was interested to see this kind of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a forest monastery. And it differs from most of the monasteries. I mean, everybody practices here on his own. So, everyone has to be diligent in his effort. Do walking meditation, sitting meditation and not falling asleep all the time. Normally, I mean, breathing is not encouraged. Listening to Dhamma talks is encouraged. To break down the mind, to still the mind. That is the first task that you have to do. To really still the mind, to get into samadhi. You know what samadhi is?
Yeah.
Concentration. There are three kinds of samadhi, upachara samadhi, apana samadhi and kanika samadhi. Upachara samadhi is excess samadhi, that's where your thought stops, the world doesn't stop yet. Apana samadhi is deep samadhi, where everything stops. And kanika samadhi is a very, very short moment of apana samadhi. And most of the time people go from kanika back into upachara samadhi. That normally happens. They go very quick down and they come out and they're resting upachara samadhi. So these are the three kinds of samadhi. And samadhi is one part of the fourth noble truth. Mm-hmm. Sila, samadhi, panya. And that is what this monastery is all about. It's about sila, samadhi, panya. It's about the fourth noble truth, the way to the end of suffering, the way to the end of dukkha. And he built his place with the least interference from anything else, so he protected the monastery and let the bhikkhus do on their own without any kind of meetings except for once a week. There was a Dhamma talk once a week, or once a week there was a Dhamma talk. He was giving a Dhamma talk or instruction, and every 2 weeks the Patimok. Everything else, there were no duties, no meetings, no gathering, no discussions.
What is Patimok?
Patimok is the recitation of the monk's rules. So for lay people, there wasn't. I mean, as lay people, I suspect to keep the 8 precepts here. You know the 8 precepts?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that was the daily routine, you know. I mean, you go and eat, and then after your meal, I mean, you practice until it's sweeping time, and then after sweeping time, you practice again. Sleeping about 4 hours maximum. Not yet there.
How long? This is next year.
No. That's going to come quite soon. How long? 5?
No,
6.
6? 7.
No. Okay. Well, we have to find a bucket of water.
Well, what's happened? I sleep like 2 nights, 6, and then I become tired,
I sleep more, so it's like... You should... I mean, you want to go deeper in your practice. I mean, anything more than 4 hours, I mean, it's rolling back your practice, the progress of your practice. I mean, 2 hours is fantastic. I mean, you get so sharp. I mean, you see everything. I mean, your awareness gets so sharp. Yeah? I mean, if you just stay here for a week, you know, that's... So let me ask, Verena, how long are you sleeping?
Oh, also like 6 or 7 hours, too much.
Yes. Well, good that I mentioned it, yeah? So, I mean, that's why you know, that's why you don't get any further with your practice. So let's reduce it. And, I mean, don't worry. Because the first 4 or 5 days you will feel tired. So you have to overcome tiredness. Investigate what is tiredness. I mean, why do you want to sleep? Because you're bored. Huh? That's why you want to sleep. That's why you want to treat. Boredom, restlessness. That's what dukkha. It's dukkha. Because of dukkha we want to sleep. We don't want to know about things. Other people in the world drink alcohol, you know, to get rid of that dukkha. We don't get rid of that. So the less you sleep, and actually, you know, when you practice very well, I mean, you don't feel tired. When you rest in samadhi, when the chitta is in samadhi, you don't feel tired. I mean, 2 hours is more than enough. Huh? That. I mean, if you do a lot of investigation, I mean, then you might sometimes need an hour more. Huh? But if you rest yourself, you know, in samadhi, I mean, what is it more? 1.5 hours. That was my minimum. And, I mean, I can promise you, you feel sharp. After 2 months, you know, you practice that, you feel really sharp. I mean, you see through things. And that is the whole point why we practice samadhi, to see through things. To be objective, not to be subjective. I mean, with this awareness that is so sharp, you know, I mean, we can cut or we can see through without any attachment. There's no attachment to it. There's just this sati, just this observance, just this knowing. Just this knowing what is going on, knowing that a thought comes, knowing that, you know, feeling is there, knowing the body, you know, knowing this, knowing the memory, knowing an association, knowing this, you know? And that's it, you know, I mean, it just makes blip, and then it's gone. Blip, it's gone. Blip, it's gone. That is sati. And without sati, we cannot train panya, wisdom. So when we look at the fourth noble truth, it's sila, samadhi, panya. Sila, I mean, are the 5 precepts, or here in the monastery, 8 precepts, for the monks, 227 precepts. We keep that, without question. Samadhi is that what we have to train for. Especially when we come from the West, our mind is scattered all over the place. So we have to bring it back always to the same point. And there are 2 ways to do that. One is Anapanasati, that is most well known. Observing the breath at the tip of the nose, knowing that the breath goes in, knowing that the breath goes out, knowing that the breath is deep, knowing that the breath is shallow, knowing that the breath switches from in to out and out to in. Knowingness of the breath at the tip of the nose. So the point of concentration or the point of reference for us to know if the mind wanders is the nose. The moment the mind wanders, we instantly know it, okay, and then we will pull it back and put it back to the nose, huh? Knowing the breath. Huh? And that, of course, is boring after a while. You know, after 2 hours, you know, I know the breath. You know, I mean, I don't know. No, you don't know the breath. Huh? Because the breath can be so interesting, it can be so fascinating. I mean, you don't even want to go away from it. You want to have every detail, every step, how it slowly rises up, you know, how it is at this height, you know, and then slowly goes down, and then you want to find the out point, where it switches, huh? It stops. The in-breath stops for a moment, you know, and then the out-breath comes. Huh? You want to find that, and then you want to follow it, you know, and follow it. I mean, it's amazing. That boring. You know, if it's boring, you know, there's something wrong with your practice. Huh? That's all. Or the other method that is normally taught here or in Lumpuman's monasteries or the disciples of Lumpuman is the Buddha. Buddha, 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 Buddha. Mentally reciting Buddha. Instead of thinking, you know, we think Buddha. We can combine these two things. We can Buddha with breathing in and Do with breathing out. In the beginning it might be too difficult to be able to concentrate, so we combine these things. Buddha with breathing in, Do with breathing out. And sooner or later, once we get concentrated, it is too difficult to concentrate on two things, so one thing will fall away by itself. So, all what remains is then the Buddha or is the Buddha. Depends on what we have started our practice with. So, if we started our practice with Buddha, Buddha will remain. If we started our practice with Anapanasati, Anapanasati will remain. And then we stay with that. And we go. Buddha becomes just the same thing as the breath. It becomes stronger and stronger. The mind, you know, focuses it. And then the Buddha drops to the heart. And then we can listen to the Buddha. I mean, once we install the Buddha running constantly, you know, I mean, we can start listening to the Buddha. That is as interesting as, you know, observing every point of the breath. Then the Buddha, then it becomes, the more we get concentrated, more difficult it becomes to think Buddha. Until we know we cannot think Buddha anymore. And then we switch to the knowingness that comes from that. The whole point of the exercise, be it Anapanasati or Buddha, is finding the way to the knowingness. The knowingness of the breath, is it in-breath or out-breath, is it short, deep, shallow, or whatever, you know, comes from the citta. So following the citta, following the knowing of the citta, leads us to the citta. And there is the awareness. The awareness, we will find it, you know, when we do Anapanasati, the awareness will suddenly split from the point of concentration and drop into the heart, from where it actually arises. But we still keep on there with the Anapanasati until we stop breathing. We know we're going to stop breathing. And that's fine. We know we're going to fall asleep. That's fine. We wake up again. So we stop breathing and we wake up again. That moment we also switch to the knowingness. Once we switch to the knowingness, everything disappears. The whole world, the whole universe, as it has never existed. There is only knowingness. Not knowing objects, but just pure knowingness. You can't say anything about this knowingness. You can just say, you know, you haven't slept. Or sometimes you can say it's completely dark. There's nothing wrong. So that is Apanasamadhi. Apanasamadhi, for people who want to practice to find the way out of dukkha, is the preview of nibbana. It's a preview. I mean, once they get out of Apanasamadhi, the world is just like it was before. Nothing has changed. So, I mean, changes do not come from samadhi. Changes come from panna. Changes come from investigation. But it's a preview that shows us, you know, the quality of nibbana. As a preview, it's very short, you know, and it is not as, you know, as specific as nibbana itself. But this is the way how to look at something or how to experience something, our goal. How to get a preview of the goal that we have, nibbana. Once we get that, you know, I mean, we don't want it. No? I mean, I guarantee if you stay longer, the first thought that when you come out again, how do I get in? You don't want to go back into this world. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing that attracts you into this world. So that is very, very different from the Upachara Samadhi. Upachara Samadhi is just the world of experience where thought stops. I mean, it's completely different from the world we experience, because the world we experience is the world of thought. Of our thinking. Of our mind engine that tells us, you know, what we see. That tells us what we feel. Once you stop that, I mean, you will be in a completely different realm. You will be in the realm of experience. That's just experience. And that, because it's just experience, it's so satisfying. Because there's nobody there anymore, there's no I anymore that bothers you. That tells you, I have to worry about this, I have to worry about that, I'm afraid of that, I'm alone, I'm so lonely. There's nobody telling you this anymore, because you're not lonely. Because there's no I. You have taken actually a rest from the I. From the one who constantly, you know, constantly bricks you up, constantly, you know, excites you, you know. You have to do this, you have to like this, you don't have to, you have to not like this, you know. You have to, you know, be like this, you have to be like that. You take a break from all these things. That's why it's so important for us. I mean, if we cannot get into Upachara Samadhi, if we cannot, you know, taste that, spiritual freedom of Upachara Samadhi, we cannot go the path. Because we always long to the world. We always long to the attachment that, you know, that the world offers us. The same thing, you know, the Lord Buddha said the same thing. He said, if there wouldn't be any greater happiness than in the world, nobody would go the path. So Upachara Samadhi is that for us. It is where we can take really a break. Where we feel relaxed, revitalized, re-energized after we come out. There are no more thoughts. You know, there's just experience. Whatever you experience, you know, I mean, the experience differs from person to person. All what we know is Upachara Samadhi. We go in and then we go out. Once we are in, we feel safe. When we go out, we feel re-energized. That's all. And then what happens within, in between that, I mean, that depends on the person. Completely different for each person. Some people, you know, will extreme pity, you know, I mean, their tears run down for the first time. Other people will just be happy, other people will be peaceful, other people will just be quiet. I mean, other people will go into a different realm, you know, I mean, depends on. But Upachara Samadhi, you know, to know that there is something else than this world of senses that we normally see, that is a must. Otherwise we will be, you know, I mean, we will give up meditation very quickly. So, and all what we have to do, concentrate on this. I mean, so easy, isn't it? Just concentrate on the tip of the nose, knowing that the breath goes in and out, yeah? And the byproduct of this, you know, I mean, of our concentration will be, you know, Upachara Samadhi. Everybody can reach it. If somebody, you know, puts one's effort into it, you know, we can reach Appana Samadhi as well. But that means, you know, not 7 hours of sleep, yeah? You will never reach that.
6.5 hours.
No, 3 hours. About 3 hours. But cut down to 4 hours. Start cutting hour, you know, every week 1 hour. To get used to it. It is boredom, you know, I mean, what holds you off is boredom. I mean, the moment you turn around, you feel how it's, you know, I mean, this dullness, you know, it's so sweet.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I mean, where is the difference between this dullness and daydreaming? When you sit, you know, and suddenly, you know, go in daydreaming. It's the same thing, you know. That's why we love to go there. Because it's a certain dullness that gives us a certain comfort. But the comfort, you know, I mean, we feel tired after this. When you get up, you know, you feel tired. When you get up after 2 hours, whoosh, you're completely awake. That, I mean, so, I mean, to get to these experiences, there's not much that we have to do. We just have to keep going back to the breath, going back to the breath, or going back to the Buddha. So if you think a lot, take Buddha. Combine it with the breath, you know, I mean, fine, yeah? Until one falls away. We really have to concentrate in Tao, and we really have to be interested in it. We really have to be, you know, when we take the breath, we really have to be interested in the breath. There's nothing else that interests us. I mean, leave out the body doesn't interest us. I mean, all these sensations of the body, I mean, everybody, you know, I mean, people from the West, the only thing that they talk for years when once they start practicing is body. That hurts, that is, there's some strange energy, there's some strange energy. I mean, I feel pain here, I feel pain there, you know. They never talk about that citta. Always, oh, this hurts, that hurts, you know, there's something, you know, there's... Oh. Why? Because in the West we don't care about the body, you know, we take it for granted. Once it's, you know, something is wrong with the body, we take it to the garage. Or call a doctor. Just like our car, you know. Why do we worry about this car so much? Because we think it can take us from here to there. The chitta goes from here to there in one blink of an eye. Why did you know? The car, you know, you have to drive 10 hours, huh? You have to go into Italy, you know, at least 10 hours, you know, in a plane. You sit there, you know, squashed in, you know. With a blink of eye, you can be in Italy, you know, without this body. I mean, tiredness is another thing. Yeah? I mean, it's purely body. Oh, I'm so tired, I'm so tired, you know. I mean, all it translates to, I don't want to. I'm sick of this Buddha, I'm sick of the breath. So, I mean, if this tiredness comes in, you know, I mean, have some tricks up your sleeve, yeah. Okay, now let's think about something exciting. Suddenly you're completely awake. Huh? So, I mean, you weren't tired. You were just tired of Buddha. Or tired of the breath. That's all. I mean, you have to have some tricks up the sleeve because, I mean, you have an enemy that knows you better than anybody else. The enemy is the Kilesa. Or Avijja. And the fangs of Avijja are the Kilesa. Sloth, torpor, pain. Yeah, all these things that come from Kilesa. So we have to investigate. We have to look through them. We have to find the tricks of the magician. The magician of Avijja. You know, how does he pull the trick? How can he say, yes, you know, tired? And we say, yes, my lord, I'm tired. I need to sleep, you know. When I wake up, oh, yes, my lord, I need to turn around again, you know. We always say, yes, my lord, yeah? When the Germans occupy your country, I mean, you drive them out. Huh? Don't you? No, you don't welcome them. Yes, 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 you know. Beat me up, beat me up, beat me up, you know. Because I love it. Don't you? You drive them out, so why don't you drive this lord out? Huh? He constantly tells you what to do. Are you not sick of it? I have to go there. Who tells you this? I have to go there. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to like this. I have to not like this, you know. I like this person. I like this kind of food. I don't like this kind of food. I mean, who tells you this? Have you ever asked yourself? That's interesting. It's constantly, you know, we're meditating and it tells us what we experience. You love football, no? Huh? So, when you go in a football stadium, I mean, you see two parties, you know. For instance, in the World Cup, Germans against Italy. You see what is going on, who has the ball, who kicks it, you know. But you don't believe. You only listen to the commentator who over loudspeakers, you know, tells you what is going on the field. This person you believe much more than your own eyes. Why? Because we do that all the time. We don't believe our own experience. We need somebody who tells us what we just experienced. And that is the Lord. This Lord, you have to get rid of it. He's the oppressor. It's nothing else than avijja. Shut it out, you know, and you feel released. So, the third part of the Fourth Noble Truth, Panya, wisdom, is that to study the Kilesas, to investigate. So, the Kilesas send us some pain, so we investigate pain. What is pain? The Kilesas adore this body, so we investigate this body. What is this body? We do body investigation. This is the first thing, you know, for body investigation. Whatever goes in is nice. Whatever comes out is shit. Whatever goes in we like. Whatever comes out we don't like. Why? As long as the hairs are on our head, you know, we love it. The moment they are down in the drain, disgusting. The moment the hair falls in your soup, you don't want to eat the soup anymore. Why? Just, you know, just a moment ago, they were still on the onion, you found it nice. Huh? So what is it? You know? What is it, you know, that we attach to this body? Take off the skin. What is left? Just take it off. You know, I mean, just visualize it. Take off the skin. Yeah? Blood. Muscles, flesh, just like you skin an animal. Yeah, I mean, all what you see. Yeah? We skinned animals before, so I mean, or we've seen it, you know, on the market, you know, I mean, what is it, you know? We normally put it in the frying pan. But we wouldn't like, you know, I mean, if it is, you know, if it is our loved one, we wouldn't like to hug, you know? Would you like to kiss, you know, blood, you know, bloody, you know, lips with no... no skin on it? Oh, you know, touch a hair, you know, there is no hair anymore, it's just blood, you know, it's a bloody mess. Oh, how thick is the skin? As thin as a tissue. Underneath it hides everything that we find disgusting. That's what we have to investigate. Because our attachment to the body is so great, it brings us from one life to the next life. And when you look at the at the stages of enlightenment, there are four stages of enlightenment. Sotapanna is the first, stream entry. Huh? Sakadagami, once returner. Anagami, non-returner. And then Arahant is the last stage. When you look at our investigation processes, we go and investigate the body. When we investigate the body enough, then we enter Sotapanna. Then we investigate the body even more. Then we go to once return. We investigate the body even more. And then we go to anagami. And then, at that stage, we don't come back. It's a non-return. We don't need to investigate the body anymore. Then we investigate the other four khandhas. Feeling, memory association, thoughts, and consciousness. So the first thing, for the first three stages of enlightenment, body investigation. Body investigation. Body investigation. And that is, when you wanted to know what this monastery is about, it's about body investigation. Lungta Mahabua was teaching body investigation, body investigation, body investigation. He was also teaching samadhi. Begin, and then body investigation. But his main emphasis was body investigation. That leads you to the first, second, and third stage of enlightenment. There's no other thing. We are so attached to the body, that's why we so love it. But we don't love this body, you know, but we love a body. Yeah? Of course, you know, I mean, when I look, you know, when the moment I grow old, I don't like this body anymore because it doesn't do what I want. Just like an old car, you know. I mean, you want to have a new car once your old car, you know, your Fiat, you know, gets old. Doesn't, you know, it just goes slowly up the hill, you know. I mean, you don't want it. You want a new car, yeah? And then this new car, you know, gets old, you know, and then we want another car. And there's no end to cars. So this body is nothing than a car. That's why our emphasis is not on educating the body, not to train the body, but to train the citta, the driver of the car. That is the emphasis of practice. Training the citta, going back, going back, going back, not being interested in the body. You know, the body is... It's just there. We take care of him, you know, when we give him some food, some water, you know, food in the morning and some water during the day, yeah, and a few hours of sleep, you know, during the night, that's fine, and give him a shower. Yeah? That it doesn't smell so bad, because all the good things, you know, all the bad smell comes from outside, isn't it? No, it comes from inside. You can't even, you know, I mean the sweat, you know, I mean the sweat when it comes out, I mean with the... Don't want to smell it. Bad. The fart, you know. We don't look at the shit, you know. We don't shit in our hands, you know. I mean, we are disgusted, you know, when we touch even shit, you know. Just came out of the body, you know, we just, oh, it feels great, you know. Then this thing, what feels great, comes out and we are disgusted. It smells bad, you know. It looks bad, you know. I mean, and we don't want to touch it. Why? We just touched it here, you know, not directly. So what is it, you know, what is it that makes us so illusioned about this body? Nobody has to tell you. You don't have to exercise that the body is disgusting. I mean, just look at the things that come out of the body and you feel the disgust. I mean, nobody has to teach you that. I mean... Ask a doctor, you know, I mean, who has to open up a corpse for the first time. Poops! I mean, he throws up. Why does he throw up, you know? I mean, nobody teaches him to throw up when he opens the first corpse. But they throw all of them throw up. Or, you know, they fall unconscious. Because it's too much to see. The reality. People always think, you know, they come here, body investigation, why do I have to make the body disgusting? You don't have to make the body disgusting and just look at it, what comes out, you know, and you feel disgust. Just open it up, you know, open up your stomach, let out, you know, the good food that you had this morning. Look at it, you know, I mean, for the stomach it's still real, you know, I mean, it still burns it. But we don't want to eat it anymore, do we? Why? That... It is so important for us to understand, you know, I mean, our delusion about the body. And that is, you know, what we have to do in the investigation of the body to get rid of the delusion that we have. That everything is nice, beautiful, you know. So why do we take on clothes, you know, if it's so beautiful? Why do we hide the things that are not so beautiful? When we, you know, a man gets hair loss, you know, he hides it, you know, he puts in a toupee, you know, whatever it's called, you know. No, the ladies, you know, put on makeup, you know, to make up for what, you know? For the deficiencies of the body, and the body is full of deficiencies. You know? But we don't want to see this reality, you know, I mean, that's why we plaster, you know, beautiful girls and beautiful, you know, handsome men all over the, you know, all over the city, you know? Wherever you see, you don't see young people, you know, beautiful, you know. But when you look at the streets, the reality is completely different. We want to have this illusion, you know, I mean, the body is something beautiful. But you just tear off the skin, you know, and you see, you know, where's the beauty? Where's the beauty? Where's the difference of you and the young man? There's no difference. Where's the difference of you and the woman? There's no difference. Just take off the skin and all the marks from the, you know. Then adore the skin, you know. Take a magnifier, you know, and look at the skin. I mean, it becomes really disgusting. I mean, it's full of holes, you know, and out of these holes comes the dirt. When, you know, just need a magnifier glass, you know. Just like Gulliver's Travel, you know. I mean, nobody has to teach you it's disgusting. You will feel disgusted. Just look at the shit, you know, try to put it back in your mouth. Or drink some urine, you know, what is called a medicine, you know, after 3 or 4 days, you know. I mean, oh, the smell is so disgusting. It comes out of your body. We only want to put things, nice things, inside of the body, and everything that comes out is disgusting. That is something, you know, I mean, that doesn't make sense. I mean, if in this world, you know, we operate a factory that takes in all the good things from all over the world, you know, and produces just shit. Would somebody buy these products? Would somebody support this factory? No, nobody. They all want nice things, you know? So why are we so deluded about this body? What does it give us, you know? What does it give us? What kind of pleasant feelings does this body give you? Only. The truth is, when we are tired, you know, we go to sleep, you know, it feels nice, you know, when we wake up, you know, we feel rested. It's a comfortable feeling. But you don't realize that before this comfortable feeling, there was an uncomfortable feeling of the body. Same with thirst. You're very thirsty. You drink something and you feel really relieved, you know? You feel really comfortable. You don't realize that before you drank something, you know, I mean, there was a very, very dissatisfying feeling of the body. Same for eating, hunger. I mean, now that you eat only once a day, I mean, you will feel hungry in the evening, and you feel it's a very uncomfortable or discomfort. So the moment you put it to ease, that is the comfort of the body. To put out the discomfort of the body. When the body gets hot, we take a shower. Oh, it feels so great, you know. Or we jump into the sea or in the lake, you know. Have you ever thought about that? No, we don't think about it. When we go to the beaches, you know, I mean, I say, you know, I mean, that's what we do. A Westerner, you know, coming from the cold Europe, you know, goes to Thailand, you know, goes to a beach, lies in the sun, you know, until he can't stand the heat anymore. Yeah, see how stupid they are? And then he jumps into the water, you know, until it becomes too cold, and he lies back into the sun, you know, until he's heated up, you know, he can't stand the heat anymore. And then he goes back. And, you know, in the evening he says, oh, that was a fun day. I mean, how stupid are you? You know, you can have you just put there, you know, what is it, tank? A bucket of, you know, hot coal, you know, you put your hand here, yeah, until it's too hot, and then you have a bucket of cold water and you put it there, you know, it's the same thing. That's all what we do. We heat ourselves up and then we need the relief, and when the relief comes, we feel so happy. No matter if what it is. And that is all what is about the body. And that's why we love this body. To heat it up, you know, in order, you know. But if you don't find a cold place, you know, cold water, you know, to put out the fire that we burn ourselves, then we are in trouble. We overheat. Then we are really in trouble. And sex is nothing else but this. We heat ourselves up, you know. I mean, if you can't find partner, you know, sexual release, you know, I mean, you overheat. It's the same thing, you know. It's nothing than going on the beach and heating yourself up, you know, throwing yourself in a cold water. Same principle. It's only one principle. It's the principle of the body. But we have not understood it yet. And it's very discomfortable to hear that truth about the body, isn't it? don't lie to you. You know, we like to live in the illusion, just like we live into this dullness of our dream. You know, dreaming about how, you know, being a millionaire, you know, and spending my money like this and this and this, being in nice places because we've seen all the pictures of it. You know, when we come out of the dream, everything is just the same thing. We can dream so many things. Huh? We dream so many lives. Huh? And from this life, you know, we are not even satisfied with this life, you know. The moment we get older, we think about, you know, the next life, you know. We want a young body, don't we? Because this doesn't work anymore. Just like, you know, with your car. When it gets too old, you want a new car. Huh? You are not the car. Get out of the car, you know, and look at the car. This body is just a biological robot. It only does what the chitta tells him to do. Just like your car only does what the driver tells it to do. It doesn't work on its own. Have you ever seen, nowadays, you know, they have these autonomous vehicles, but, you know, I mean, it doesn't do, you know, even then, you know, somebody from afar has to, you know, to steal it. The car doesn't do on its own. The body doesn't do on its own. It's a chitta, you know, who sits in here, you know, and, you know, beats up the body, you know, and says, do this, do that, do this, do that, you know. And tells us, don't like this, you know. That body, that person that I see, I hate him so much. You know? It's all coming here from the driver, you know. The car doesn't get, you know, the car doesn't get excited if another car overtakes him. It's a driver. Oh, shit. Huh? Isn't it? The body doesn't care. The body is just a body. It's just a car. It's just a biological robot. It doesn't have any feeling. It just, you know, functions. It's a chitta who wants this body, you know, who is so attached to this body, who wants to drive it around, yeah? Take it for a drive, take it for a walk, take it for a stroll, you know, tasting this, tasting that, seeing this, seeing that, hearing this, hearing that. The body doesn't care about hearing or seeing, tasting. I mean, it just does, you know, whatever it is programmed to do so. The chitta enjoys, you know, the sensation that come from the tastes or from the ears or from the eyes. Huh? Okay, now you know what Lungta Mahabho was teaching about. That's exactly what he must have done. I mean, most of his talks are about taking a tour through the body and seeing the disgusting nature of the body, not being attached to the body. And also, of course, he was talking about samadhi, upacara samadhi, apana samadhi, getting a complete rest. Both of these things. He was not talking so much about, within the monastery, because he expected everybody to be within the 5 precepts or 8 precepts or 227 precepts. When he went out, you know, gave a talk to the public, I mean, his only topic was 5 precepts. Keep 5 precepts and a little bit of Buddha, a little bit of samadhi, never body investigation. But in this monastery, body investigation, samadhi.
I was more happy in the morning.
You were more. You didn't like what. Yeah, people don't like to hear that, isn't it? We don't like to hear the truth about the body. It makes us feel discomfort, huh? And this is the same thing, you know, the moment we start investigating the body, we feel that discomfort. And the more real, clear we see, you know, the more disgust comes up. And it brings up anger. I mean, greed and anger are rooted within this body. I mean, the Anagami doesn't have any greed and anger anymore. He got rid of it. Because he destroyed the illusion about the body. So, greed and anger, you know, wanting and, you know, liking and disliking is all rooted within this body. So that's why we have to investigate it so thoroughly. We have to investigate the nature of the body. What is it made of? Four elements. Water, earth, fire, air. We have to investigate the nature of the body in seeing it, you know, and feel the disgust, you know. And so, with this, you know, with seeing the nature of the body, the Klesas don't like it. They hate it. That's why people don't like to listen to it, you know. They start instantly, you know, your Klesas are reacting, you know. You're not more, you were more happy, you know, before you heard it. So, the Klesas don't like it, you know, so your oppressor doesn't like it, you know. And that's why we, you know, why we do even more body investigation, you know, so that he shows his face. Once he shows his face, I mean, we can cut his throat. That's the way we do it, you know. I mean, we have to pull these things out. Why do you think, I mean, the Lord Buddha, you know, gave us 13 Dutankas, you know. Dutankas are extreme practices. I mean, one extreme practice we do all lifelong, you know, it is just eating once a day. Not wearing beautiful robes, you know. I mean, just, you know, wearing robes, you know, that dead people were covered in, you know, is another one. Not sleeping is one of them. Not lying down to sleep, you know, is one of the Dutankas. I mean, in order to pull out these Klesas to show their face. So once they show their face, cut their throat. But that is, these are practices, you know, for hardcore practitioners. It's not for, you know, for people who go to Goenka courses. That's not the kind of practice. I mean, they don't touch it. You know, everything is beautiful, you know. I mean, the sensations, just observe your sensations in the body. That's nothing wrong.
It was there in the start.
Yeah, but probably because after of the reaction.
After a few years in the West, they put it outside. It was given a movie of how to
investigate the body.
When someone died.
Yeah.
How it's called in English when you open the body.
Yeah.
It was always autopsy. In the course in the 70s.
Autopsy, yeah.
It was in the course, and after a few years it was
gone,
take off. It wasn't going well in the West.
That's why I'm not in the West. It's not going well in the West. People got really angry, got really pissed. Hearing the truth about their beloved body. I mean, you can't. Because, I mean, when you look at the West, what are the people doing? 95, if not 99% of the time they spend for this body. To house it, to clothe it, to make it beautiful, to beautify it, you know. Now the Asians do the same thing. They live for the body and they die with the body. Nobody wants to consider that there is something that makes this body. The citta. That goes from one body to the next. People don't consider that. I mean, they live for this body, they want to house it, you know, want to close it, you know, they want to be famous, you know, it's nothing else. I mean, it's the body that's famous, it's not the soul that is famous. When they walk out, you know, on the limelight, you know, I mean, people cheering, you know, and things like that. And now because they can't do it, you know, now they do it. Nowadays they do it on Twitter and Facebook. All to do. I mean, we spend, you know, we spend all our life working very hard, you know. I mean, if you have to work to earn money, you know, you work very hard, yeah. And you spend it all on the body? For the comfort of the body? Huh? For medicine, you know, for beds, you know, for houses, or for this, for clothes, you know, or for makeup, or, you know, for cutting the hair. All this hard work, and nothing goes to the one who tries, you know? The chitta. No work for the chitta, no time for the chitta, no 5 minutes, I don't have 5 minutes per day. I cannot do meditation now, I mean it, I have more important things to do. Not even 1 hour, you know, not even 5 minutes a day. We can't spend for the chitta. Everything we have to spend on the body. And then, you know, I mean, and then this body dies and all our work, you know, we did for 70 years or 80 years, you know, was useless. Because this body dies. No matter what we do. What a waste of energy, what a waste of time, what a waste of money. You understand English? Kan chai pa sang it la? Ah, kom pom kit da. Du får med det på et par særtegne. På et par særtegne, den der. Ja. People are not ready to hear the truth. Especially in the West. I mean, when you look, you know, I mean, everybody wants to be free. They want to get rid of dukkha in the West, don't they? But they don't want to do the investigation of the body. So, how do you ever get free? You can get free in your mind. I mean, you can. Yeah. I'm a Buddhist. I'm free of greed and hate. You know, I don't have greed and hate anymore. Yeah. I can fool myself. You know, I can fool myself that I'm free of all these things. Yeah, I'm aloof. You know. But you know, sooner or later, I mean, we'll fall into the trap. Yeah. I mean, we people, you know, live in the ivory tower, you know, for such a long time before somebody shoots them up. Yeah. And then they fall to the floor, you know, fall to the ground and they can't take it, you know, kill themselves. That's what happened. Yeah. I mean, we can, we can make ourselves, you know, we can pull ourselves in the illusion, you know, of being free. But that's not the way, you know. I mean, we have to get rid of this body, of the delusion about the body, you know, to get free. And no, Uttama doesn't come back, you know, in any kind of form. It doesn't have an body anymore. He's the only person. Huh? Sotapanna comes back, you know, at most 7 lives. Huh? Sakadagami comes back 1 time. Narahan is in Nibbana. The non-returner still has to work 50,000 years if he doesn't do anything to get to Nibbana. He still has to get rid of the final attachment, of the fine attachment or subtle attachment. That conceit, restlessness, he has to deal with restlessness. And this magic of avijja, I mean, it's magic. When you look at it, it's magic. I mean, it makes up this whole universe. Eh? Avijja patya sankhara. Avijja is the condition that all these phenomena arise. So, I mean, how can it be not magic? When you look in the life of inequality in the 10th chapter, you know, about the supreme enlightenment, you know, Linda describes it, you know, I mean, it's utterly magic. And you can be fooled by that. You know? So, any questions? What was your name? Valerio. Where from Italy are you?
Rome.
Capital. Any questions?
Many, but not too many. I think my main problem is the attachment.
Like to what?
In general, I mean, attachment to myself, to what? People think to...
Yeah? I mean, it's not only your problem, it's just everybody's problem. All what you have to do is to get... I mean, this attachment comes only with thoughts. Get rid of the thoughts and there's no more attachment. So, I mean, to get rid of the thought, I mean, either use Buddha, 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 Buddha. There's nothing else in Buddha. You wake up with Buddha and you go to sleep with Buddha. You can eat with Buddha. You can sleep with Buddha. You can walk with Buddha. You can sit with Buddha. Make that your mainstay. And then the attachment gradually decreases. You cannot get rid of the attachment this way, but it decreases, you know. I mean, as long as a tree is too strong, I mean, but the moment you deprive him of water and earth, I mean, it will grow weaker, so you can cut it off. So our attachment is the same thing. As long as we constantly fuel it, give it some food to grow, and food to grow is thoughts and memories, it will grow and it will be too strong. But the moment we take that food away, it is much easier to see what is underneath, to cut it or to uproot it. So don't blame, you know, attachments. Of course, you know, there are attachments are too strong in the beginning. Yeah? I mean, all what we do is, you know, we sit, you know, and once we sit for an hour, then we walk for an hour, then we sit again for an hour, and we always try to bring the mind back. But it's not easy. Everybody has to struggle in this fight. So if you want to get rid of the Germans, you know, struggle, you know, I mean, put your...
do you see that on the other student of you, that they have like upachara samadhi, that they maintain it in their like, social life?
Very difficult.
Because what I see with my friend, usually the meditation don't work in a...
I mean, you have to be really determined. You know, I was determined, so I was doing at least 3 hours of a day when I was working.
That I keep hearing from my other teacher, that if you don't do 3 hours a day, it will not...
You will not, I mean, you will never be able to maintain it.
This is what I'm just maintaining.
Even if you do 3 hours a day, you will not be able to maintain it. But you will make the decrease very, very slow. That's all.
Nobody gives 3 hours.
And nobody does 3 hours. So the decrease, you know, of people who go for an intensive meditation retreat, after a week it's gone. I mean, they're all the memories, you know. The only thing is what they have is their memories, yeah.
This is also what you see in your students?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they even forget it, you know. I mean, they spent here a year, you know. And within 7 days, you know, they forget everything. I mean, it's the power of the kilesas to distract ourselves, you know, we can completely forget them. Right? That were important, so important, you know. It's so important to us, you know. We saw something and it's so important for our life, you know. We turn our, you know, our view to something, yeah. And we can never come back. Sometimes it takes, you know, I've seen people, after 20 years they come back, you know, I forgot it. I knew it was so important in my life, you know, I mean, but for 20 years, you know, I've been, you know, I mean, completely in a delusional world, you know, and after 20 years, there was something, you know, and then I noticed, meditation, practice. Don't underestimate the power of this avijja. Never, ever. I mean, it is the Lord who reigns this whole universe, I mean. As long as you don't start to fight him, he will leave you quite alone. Yeah? I mean, you're just worried about these little things. Yeah? The moment you start to fight him, he will show you his weapons. Because he has no interest that you leave his territory. And it is real. It's a duality. You can really, you know, you can see there's another fault. You sit yourself down and say, you know, Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. I just want to stay for 1 hour on Buddha. That is one thing. And then 5 or 10 seconds later, another voice comes in and says, oh, no, I mean, it's difficult. Oh, you have to do it like this. You have to do it like that. You have to do it like this. Who is that voice? There was one thing, you know, I mean, that, you know, Lungta Mahapur speaks from two powers. Huh? There's the power of light and there's the power of darkness. And the power of darkness is avijja. Power of light is the Dhamma that is also in our heart, you know. That's what brought you here. That's the power of Dhamma. Something within your heart wanted to hear the truth, even if you don't like to hear the truth. Other people don't come. They never come. They never hear this. But something that pulls us here, you know. Even if it's just for a short time, you know, it puts us here. No, you hear it. But you know, I mean, it is a seed, you know, that will grow. Over time, you know, it will grow and grow stronger. And it will make, you know, it will, or it can, yeah, it can lead us to the path, to the deliverance from dukkha. So, that's your question. This attachment, you understand? Go with Buddha. You know, I mean, you have to take out the fire are thoughts and memories. So each thought you replace with Buddha. Each memory that comes you replace with Buddha. And your attachment will become very comfortable.
The fear.
The fear, same thing. For all these things, you never say, I'm afraid. You always say, there is fear. Or there is attachment. Or there is liking. Or there is disliking. Never say, I like. Or I dislike. There is liking. And there is disliking. There is fear. The moment you have an object, you can observe it. If you think you are the object, you're gone. The same thing. Fear comes from thoughts. So, quiet the thoughts, there will be no fear. There will be no loneliness. There will be no disappointment. There will be no frustration. There will be no dullness. There will be nothing. There will be just experience. Ah, I wish you could, you know, I mean, you could go there sometime. Just to feel it, you know, how it is, you know, when this world of thoughts, you know, just collapses. And don't be afraid, you know. Don't be afraid, you know, if the, you know, whatever happens, you know, I mean, if you see a nice cool lake, you know, just jump into it. Yeah? Don't scared, you know. I'll put my toe into it's cold. And to put two, just jump into it. When you see this concentration, just follow it up. Don't worry about anything else. When you go to sleep, do you worry that you don't wake up? See? You might not wake up. You might not wake up, yeah? But we're never afraid.
Because it's a routine that you wake up. You think you wake up.
Yeah, we think we wake up, you know. But some people don't wake up. But they are not worried to go to sleep. So, I mean, put your mind to sleep in a very natural way, you know, just stop thinking, you know. Don't worry, the thoughts will come back sooner than you wish. So all these things, worries, fear, you know, I mean attachment, you know, all they drive on thoughts and memories and feelings. So the thoughts and memories, I mean, we can replace them with Buddha, 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 or attention on the breath. So there's no fear, you know. If there's no thought, there's no fear. There's just a feeling, yeah. But you have to be very careful not to let these thoughts that are in the background come up. So I mean, the more you concentrate it, the less there is. Get into Upachara Samadhi, don't worry about it. Yeah? I've been even in Apana Samadhi, I don't worry about it. The first thought is, how do I get back there? I'm just sitting there, you know, whoops, gone. An hour later, you know, oh, okay, I was back. Actually happened to me in a meditation center. I mean, they all, you know, sit for an hour, you know. So, I mean, and they ring a bell. So I said, you know, I sit there and hear the bell, you know. Everybody around me is getting up. But you get up, you just start. No, it's an hour gone. Meditation was over. It was sitting 1, 2, 3, gone. You come back, you know, so you don't be afraid. Yeah? And it's nice, you know, I mean, it gives us the reassurance that there is something more to this life. Yeah? I mean, if you don't have this reassurance that there is more to this life, I mean, how can we not be attached to this life? Yeah? That's what the Lord Buddha teaches us about. Yeah? I mean, we have to know, I mean, yeah, he talked about the jhanas, but the jhanas and samadhi are pretty much, yeah, I mean, they're on different levels, but pretty much the same thing as in terms of experience. Yeah? Once we experience the peacefulness, you know, of this non-thinking or just the world of experience, I mean, jhanas are a little bit better, you know, they are much nicer, you know, I mean, you have this pity, extreme pity that flows through your body, or you have the joy, you know, or you have the peacefulness, or you have the stillness. Huh? But that's different. But, you know, both of these, samadhi or the jhanas, shows us that there is something that is beyond what the world cannot give us. But what is always here in our heart. Huh? I mean, sometimes we do have a saying, I mean, in English or in German, why do you look in another country if you can find it in front of your own house? Huh? We do have the same. Probably also in Islam. No? No?
Islam. We never have a house in Islam. Our people always one way.
It's all in. But we have to find and we have to fight the way to them. It will not be easy. You know, I mean, there's a power that has controlled the heart for such a long time. Huh? And be prepared to fight a little bit. Yeah? When you listen to Lungta Mahabua's talks, it's all about fighting. You know? I mean, he compares the practice from the start of the practice. He says, you know, I mean, going into the ring with a champion, box champion. You are completely unexperienced. You go into the ring with a box champion. Yeah? I mean, all what happens is, boom, you're kicked out. Yeah? So, the moment you wake up, you go back into the ring. That is practice. You have to fight this champion. I mean, he has been championing for billions of lives. So, I mean, if you say, okay, then you have another billion of lives, or never-ending lives. Huh? If you don't go into the ring and start, you know, start to fight him, you know, I mean, there will be no way out. You know? So the Lord that has, you know, the Lord of Avijja that has the power is the box champion, huh? I mean, the moment we start to practice, it's going in the ring, kicked out, you know. I mean, we stay with Buddha, you know, in simple terms, we stay with Buddha. 2 seconds later, you know, our thought comes in, oh, this is not comfortable, you know, I'm thirsty, I need to go to pee, or things like that, yeah. That's a box champion, you know, and he kicks out, and in the beginning we fall for it, you know. Yeah, I need to go to pee, you know. No, of course we don't need to go to pee. We are not thirsty, you know. I mean, we can stay for hours, you know. I mean, when you go to sleep, you don't go every 5 minutes to pee, huh? But when we sit 10 minutes, you know, we need to pee, huh? Why? Or it's then too hot, you know, or it's too discomfort, you know. I mean, when we sit in the airplane, you know, I mean, we don't worry about the discomfort. We're squashed in, you know, but we enjoy it, you know, rather. Here we are not squashed in, you know, but we are squashing our thoughts into the one point. Okay, other questions? Fear, worries, everything the same. Remove the fuel. Remove the thoughts and the memories. Replace them with Buddha or replace them with the attention on your breath.
Please want to make offering.
Yeah. I completely forgot. Yeah, you told me that you were coming, but I completely forgot.
About it.
Huh? Ah, smoking kills. Thank you very much.
Thank you for killing me.
No. I mean, I will be killed anyway. You know, this body will be killed anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
So, Ajahn, we see you tomorrow, is it? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, yeah. So, I mean, you can, if it's not comfortable for you, I mean, the main talk is finished. If you still have questions, I mean, you can ask.
Why do you lose something when...
We are not allowed, you know, to touch the same object with a woman.
As she's already taken it?
Yeah. So, I mean, somebody, a woman has to place it, you know, onto a towel, you know, or cloth that we hold, you know, and then it is off. A man can give it directly in our hands. I mean, it's to prevent touch. I mean, you won't believe it, you know, until you really get into practice. How much one touch from the other sex can disrupt your meditation practice for days.
Also from the same sex.
A voice. A sweet voice of a woman. I was in the hills, you know. Some of the women, you didn't even see them, you know. They were singing on their fields while doing their fieldwork. I mean, it comes in, you know, and it disturbs the heart, you know, for hours. Huh? I mean, you don't see a woman, you know, because you're out in the forest, you know. I mean, you don't see them around. I mean, when you go up in the bath, you don't look at them. Just receive the food, you know. And then you hear whoops, you know, and you're one moment unmindful and it sweeps you off the ground. So that's for prevention, these things. A touch is even worse. So you're leaving tomorrow, huh? Or you stay here?
No.
Okay. But do some serious practice, yeah? Really. I mean, at least 8 to 10 hours a day, yeah? Walk, yeah? Yes, yeah? And help with sweeping, yeah? Does it? Sweeping, you know, around the salad.
Sweep around the...
cookie, yeah? Yeah. 8 to 10 hours. Otherwise, you will not get, no? I mean, then it will reduce, you know? The more you do, the more the fire will reduce, you know? I mean, you want to reduce it because, I mean, it's painful. Attachment is painful. And don't worry about it. Things will happen because of our karma. Whatever we haven't done unto others, others will not do unto us. Whatever we have done unto others, others will do unto us. Whatever you get back is what you gave out. Yeah, I mean, cigarettes doesn't come back as cigarettes, but comes back as something that you like, you know. So I gave people what they like, you know. So people give me what I like, you know. So comes back as that. You know?
Is it allowed to a lay person to read the monk's Sevak?
To what?
the 22-7 vow that precepts that monks take.
If you're allowed to
read them?
No, of course. Of course.
Just after a monk you are...
No. I mean, just after.
In the bungalow, there's a book, Patimo.
Yeah, but they are boring.
But sure, there are a few that are make sense for meditation.
Oh, yeah. Especially with the in form of the other steps. No, all things, you know, that it has a lot to do with greed and hate.
Yeah, don't talk about the robes and how to
work. No. I mean, that is not in the rules itself. I mean, there are three volumes. Yeah, I mean, conduct is one of the volumes. You know, I mean, that's where how to dress. You know, how to make robes and things like that. But you know, the rules are there. You know, I mean, you should not do this, or you should not do this, or if you do this, you should do it in this and this way. Yeah? Somebody offers you something, you should receive it like this or that. You should not specify your wishes. You know, tell him I want this. You know. That is against the rules.
It's okay to ask a monk what you
want? Yeah, and he shouldn't answer you.
So don't ask.
But you can ask him what I like. And that he can...
This is a normal idea, but I was wondering yesterday if I can ask a monk if he needs something.
Yeah?
Something.
I mean, if it is within the four necessities of a monk can tell you. So I mean, if his robes are cut, you know, and you ask him if he needs something, you know, please let me know. Then he can say, my robes are cut. Can you supply me with a new set of robes or with a new robe? Or if he needs some medicine, then he can, you know, he can say. But he cannot say it if you don't give him the allowance.
So it's not unrude to ask a man.
No,
if
no.
He needs something.
Yeah, exactly. They probably love it.
But they not answer me, so...
I mean, you will see if they answer you. Yeah? I mean, if the people ask me, what do I need? The most thing, really, what I need is that you do your buddha. I mean, that gives me the greatest relief. Yeah? If I see you, you know, if I see you touching the ground of Apana Samadhi, I mean, that... You know, that gives, you can't do me a bigger job. Yeah? Yeah? And especially if I could see, you know, one of you entering the stream. Yeah? That is the pay for my teaching. Yeah? Everything else, you know, I mean, it's just not worth it. But if you can pay me through your practice, yeah? That you actually, you know, do what I tell you to do. Not sleep 7 hours, you know, cut it down to 4 hours, yeah? Do 10 hours of practice. Yeah? I mean, that is... Yeah? Why should I, you know, why should I exhaust myself, you know, and teach you, you know, you listen to it nice, you know, and it's so comfortable to sleep, you know. And it's not the first time, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, it takes you 3 times, you know, so next time I will remember you.
It's something I'm working on this for a long time.
Yeah. Now it's time, you know. I mean, you've been here for quite a while
when
now.
When I was a teenager, I would sleep for 15, 16 hours before
then. Yeah, I mean, it depends on the country you're born in. I mean, in the kibbutz you probably could do that.
Not really.
Not really?
But I could.
Well, I have seen, you know, when I came here, I have seen monks, you know, sleeping for 3 days. Yeah? I asked them, where were you? Oh, I was sleeping. 3 days? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, they can do it, you know. I mean, they're completely dulled out, you know. I mean, what's the use of it, then? We want to be clear, sharp, awake, see everything that is coming. Yeah? I mean, you can take that, you know. I mean, if you wish so, you can take that as a protection. You can see clearly ahead what is coming onto you, you know. Huh? So, I mean, you could prepare yourself. It's not what I it's not what I teach, but you could prepare yourself, eh? For the things, eh? And, you know, make way, you know, to go out of the way, you know, or, you know, or find a nice response, eh? But it's not the thing, eh? But that sharp awareness sees everything clearly. Now, even if it's 5 minutes ahead, you know, you will know something is coming up this way, yeah? And you actually know what is it is about, you know? So you like to be dulled out? Fine, you know, so then, I mean, you're just thrown, you know, just like within a ship, you know, the cargo within a ship, from one side to the other, you know, and whenever you hit the wall, you know, that hurts, you know, then you hit the other wall, that hurts, you know, I mean, if you like this kind of life, you know, I mean, it's your life, you know. That's what happens to people in the world, you know. I mean, they're thrown off from one side to the next, you know, because, of, you know, the ship goes just with the waves, yeah. And each time they hit their head, you know, and they complain, you know. Everybody complains, you know, especially in Europe. Everybody complains, you know. If it's not, you know, if it's not the family, you know, then it's, you know, then it's the government, yeah. The government is shit, you know. Never we. We are perfect, aren't we? We never do anything wrong. Everybody around us, you know, does things wrong. Yeah? People do something, say strange things to us, you know? Things that we don't like to hear, you know? And that person, you know, we are holy people. Yeah? That's how we live our life, you know, and that's why we are completely living in a delusion, you know, that we are not doing things. Huh? Because we see only the faults of others. Huh? What was Jesus teaching, you know, to remove that, what is it? Huh? Rich. remove the, from your eyes, before you remove the splinter from the eyes of your foe.
Rafter.
Oh, remove the rafter from your own eyes before you remove the splinter from the eyes of your foe or your friend. Something like that. Also, in German we say, you know, first, you know, clean up your own house before, you know, you tell other people to clean up. Okay. So, I mean, if you wish to come, you can come tomorrow, 1 o'clock, yeah? Okay. If you wish to come and I hear something more that makes you unhappy, you know, can come as well.
It's good to make me happy. This is why I stay now. If I'm happy, okay. Can be anywhere.
So I just have some German questions.
And answers.
Yeah, here.